kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Whoso beset him round with dismal stories, to what themselves confound, his strength the more is. No foe shall stay his might, though he with giants fight. He will make good his right to be a pilgrim. Since, Lord, thou dost defend us with thy spirit, we know we at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies flee away, I'll fear not what may say. I'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim.
In Luke chapter 3, we see John the Baptist. Praise God. We'll start with verse 7. There's a couple of verses there I want to look at to start with. Luke chapter 3, starting with verse 7. We're told of John that he came to prepare the way for the Messiah, that all through him would believe. He prepared the people to receive Messiah's ministry, his first advent. Now, we're living in a time where we should be or are expecting the Lord to return. So God has got to raise up, in inverted commas, John the Baptist to prepare the people to receive the Lord for his second advent. Praise God. Let's have a look at this first. John chapter 3, starting with verse 7. He said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." That's what I want to look at. Those fruits worthy of repentance, and every tree that has not been planted by God, every tree that is not bearing fruit, the axe is already at the root and will be cut down. Now, what is it then that we have to know? We have to know what those fruits are that are worthy, but also, and what we're looking at within this, there's a mystery within the kingdom of God of how to be fruitful. Being fruitful as a believer, having a fruitful life, bearing fruit unto God. And it comes as a surprise to many that fruit is not born in doing, being active, like the prophets of Baal, getting all agitated, throwing themselves at that altar, cutting themselves, making a great hoo-ha. Fruit is born not in doing, but in dying. It's as we take up our cross that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, bears his fruit in and through us. But it's God who must do the cutting. That tree, the axe is at the root of it. And a lot of professing Christians are going to be surprised when all their life, what they've built, what they've trusted in, comes tumbling down. Because they have thought it was fruit, but it's been works, it's been them. Now the key to bearing fruit, let's have a look in Hebrews. Because we'll get to the parable of the sower in a moment. Because whatever God requires of us, he will provide.
That's right.
Whatever he requires of us, he will provide. It's his glory, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of the self-life. It's not the fruit of religious works, of fleshly works. But it's the Holy Spirit who must do the cutting when we talk about the cross. It's the Holy Spirit who bears the fruit in our life. Hebrews chapter 12, and starting with verse 25, we're told, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.' Now this 'yet once more' indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Dear friends, God has got hold of our lives. He has got hold of our lives, and he's going to shake. He's going to shake. Why? So that all that we have trusted in, all that is flesh, all that is emotion, all that is man-made, those things that cannot stand, they will fall.
Amen.
It will fall. It will come to nothing. Only what he has established in our lives will remain. And it's the trials, it's the tests that reveal it. Doesn't matter what we call ourselves, it's the fruit that we bear. How we come over, how we treat one another. Lots of believers love the power. You'll hear them talking about the power, and praise God for the power of God. The kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but in power. But dear friends, God calls us to serve also.
Yes.
He's called us to be empty vessels, to be nothing in ourselves. A people who have submitted, bowed the knee to him. And then the power, therefore the glory, is all of him. A lot of people are blaming the devil, the spirit of this and the spirit of that. And a demon of this, there's a demon there, there's 20 behind that bench, there's 40 over there behind that bush, and the reason things are going wrong is because of the devil. And yet scriptures say, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. My Bible tells me that the devil is a defeated foe. He was defeated at Calvary. And we're told not to open the door, not to give him an opportunity.
That's right. Yeah.
So either we're a people of victory or we're a people of paranoia. Now, there are times when the devil afflicts. And now, how do we put these two strands of thought together? You see, let's look at that in Matthew 12, I believe it is, where Jesus tells us to make the tree good. We cannot bear fruit except we abide in the vine.
That's right.
But sometimes Christians have a hard time yielding to the fruit of the Spirit, to the Spirit within. Matthew 12, starting with verse 33. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you," he's talking to the Pharisees here, "out of the abundance, how can you, being evil, speak good things?" Because they've just blasphemed, they've accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebub. So they've committed, that's the unpardonable sin. "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned." Solomon says that only death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now friends, we're believers. We believe that we're rooted, we're grounded in him. and that by his grace, through our believing the gospel, this tree has been made good. And so we're yielding. Now, if you take the analogy of the oak tree, I'm fond of saying this, an oak tree doesn't begin to bear acorns till it's 40 years old. Fruit, by its definition, takes time to bear, time to produce. Now, what do we do then with this statement, this absolute statement? What do we do about a Christian who sins? What do we do about a believer who loves the Lord, and yet there are things that God is dealing in his life, in their life? Does that mean there's bad fruit? Well, on a fruit, a healthy tree, a good fruit, wasps, flies attack.
Yeah.
And God is at work pruning, removing the dead, removing the damage, removing the diseased, that the healthy, the good, the pure fruit can be produced. And that is the work of the cross in our life. As God begins to plough up the furrows of our hearts, he then sows that seed of the word. And the key to knowing that we are in God's perfect will is the fruit that is born in our life. Doesn't matter what we call ourselves, it's we can't look to works in themselves. The key to knowing that the kingdom has been revealed to us is a fruitful life in Christ. And when he gets hold of us, he begins to discipline. He begins to remove self-will. Paul said he bore the marks of the cross. He didn't just preach the message of the cross, he bore its marks. He experienced that. You say to me, well, we haven't been persecuted, not in this country. I haven't received, my body isn't covered in scars. Well, let's see what the cross is, dear friends. Are you going through trials? Have you believed the promise? You're waiting on God. The manifestation isn't there yet. Doesn't the Bible tell you that it's after you have done the will of God, you have great need of endurance, of patience, that after you've done God's will, you will inherit the promise? It's doing God's will. And we always have a choice. My will, God's will. If we're doing God's will, the cross is at work. Because that's the first work of the cross, is to deal with self-will. It's to deal with what opposes the work of the Spirit in our life. Now, if we turn to Luke, we don't know how much of the kingdom has been revealed to us unless we've seen that kingdom, unless we've experienced it, unless God has revealed it to us. In Luke chapter 8, you see, these are great mysteries. We think we know them, but you see, God is working to get the word in our heart. It's not just an intellectual or religious thing. God is working by his Spirit to prepare our hearts to receive that word in our hearts, revelation, an experience. Now, I want to take that up then to Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 9. Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 9. We're asking the question, what is it to be a fruitful Christian, that tree? How do we avoid God's judgment? The axe is laid at the root of the tree. Man's institution, man's building is going to come tumbling down. So his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? So we're aware of the parable, so aren't we? And the disciples said, what does it mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out, and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience or endurance. Now let's look at this, let's break this down, because here are some keys for you and I to know this night, that we're in God's perfect will, we're in his kingdom, no matter what the devil has thrown at us, what trials we're going through, whatever God is exposing in our hearts that we should be free of, we need to know that we are rooted and grounded in him, we're in his kingdom, and we're truly serving the God of the Bible and not a God of our own imaginations, that we have experienced a touch from the living God. Because so many think they have, but the fruit tells otherwise. Jesus says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But so many are running around trying to establish their own works, their own ways, their own religious empires. They've not spent enough time before God, still and quiet in his presence, to hear from the Holy Spirit, who is the one who opens the eyes. This is about relationship. It's not about religion or works. It's about spending that time before God in his presence, that communion, communing with him, those channels of communication, for it is only the Holy Spirit who can reveal Jesus and the kingdom to us. With the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. We can't even make the first confession without the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who takes over in our lives to reveal Jesus and his kingdom to us. Most do not know why they have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come. It is God's answer to Jesus' prayer, Lord, make them one. That's the first thing. He's come to take over. He's come to put self to death.
That's right.
There will never be unity in the body of Christ until we've yielded to the Spirit of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can love each other sacrificially, but that will not be unity. All the time, one believes one thing, another believes another. Unity, full agreement, comes by yielding to the Spirit of truth. And that requires the work of the cross in our lives. So God is now sowing seed, he's putting that seed in our heart. But we see here, those within the kingdom, different responses. There's nothing wrong with the seed, nothing wrong with the skill of the sower. And yet there's varying results. Only, if you're going to keep look at it exactly, only 25% actually bear fruit. Only 1 in 4, according to this parable, I don't believe that's an absolute figure, but out of the 4 groups that Jesus speaks of, only 1 bears fruit. Out of the multitudes that hear. So what's the difference? Nothing wrong with the word of God. It's the seed. It's the word of God. Nothing wrong with the skill of the sower. The difference is the state of the heart. The soil represents the heart. It's the heart of the hearers that is different. And God has to break up that fallow ground. That's why John was saying, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. God in this end time is not getting ready, now hear me for what I'm saying, for revival. There will come a revival at the end, I believe that. But now is not the time for revival. Now is the time for repentance. A brokenness before God. God is working a thing called restoration. He's restoring. He's perfecting the body of Christ. He's cleansing. He's giving an end time vision. So that when it's none of me and all of Jesus, then that revival, that latter rain outpouring. The greater works that Jesus promised to those who believe. But first a work has to be done in the heart of his people to receive his word. The wayside here is in verse 12. What are they? The ones who hear. That's how they do hear. Then the devil comes, takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should be believed and saved. They've just heard with their ears. They haven't understood the message. So the powers of darkness straight away come and remove. They forget. The ones on the rock, are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of trial or temptation fall away. They hear, but there's a hardness of heart, because they're in it and out for it for themselves. They hear the healing, they hear the glory, they hear the joy, but they don't sit down and count the cost and ask God, what are you showing me? What have you said? They hear it for joy, and with that joy bubbling over, they run out and try and run before they can walk. They've not heard the full message. They've not understood that there's more than simply that the full gospel, the whole counsel of God, that the believer too is to deny himself, take up his cross and follow Jesus. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to know where he went. So there's not that waiting, that submission before God, waiting on him to hear what he is saying. So the rock, that's the hard heart. And how do we know that this is true? How do we know? It doesn't make pleasant hearing, but how do we know it's true? Because in a time of trial, in a time of temptation, they fall away. They're the first to go, yay, praise God, yay. But when the trial comes, when the temptation comes, when the persecution comes, where are they? They're not there anymore. They've fallen away. The word was not in their heart. They hadn't received the revelation. They hadn't waited on God to receive all that God is showing concerning his kingdom. This time is a time of preparation. We are believing that the Lord is returning soon, and he is coming back for his bride. The bride that has made herself ready, the church that is getting it right. Doesn't matter what we call ourselves, are we seeing these things? Are we experiencing, are we hearing what God is saying to the church? To us personally. It's what the Spirit is saying. Do we know what the Spirit is saying? Not what the general consensus, what most people are saying. Because I'm telling you, friends, unless we're getting a revelation of the cross, we're not getting the end time message that God is preparing his church with. And I don't just mean the cross that Jesus took up, but the cross that he's showing us. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out. Again, these people, they go out and they're choked with cares, with worries, with riches, covetous. They are pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. The seed begins to spring up, but they've got a divided heart. They're anxious about financial things. They're concerned about their material needs. They want to build their own empires and the pleasures of life. One foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world, enjoying the pleasures of the flesh for a season. No fruit can come to maturity with that, because it's a mixture. Anyone who's done any gardening knows that 90% of the work is cultivating, is getting rid of the weeds. Because those weeds are opportunistic. They'll fight. A weed will spring up overnight. But to grow a mature specimen, the work that takes. And so it's exactly the same in the spiritual realm. It's a lifetime learning, being prepared under the will of God, under that anointed word, which alone will produce fruit in a prepared heart. Praise God. Covetousness. Anxiety. Why are people anxious? Will God provide? What am I going to do about my next meal? How am I going to pay the bill? Well, do we not believe? Do we not trust God? Are we not resting in his faithfulness, in his provision? Or is there something, there's an impatience, there's a covetousness that wants, and I want it now. We're not ready, we're not prepared, we're not willing to wait on God's time, to allow him to provide. We have a wonderful promise that if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will provide. These things will be added to us. We don't have to go seeking, striving after it. We're king's kids. He'll provide it, okay. He feeds the birds. He won't chuck it in the nest. We meet him halfway. as an act of faith. We act our faith. We walk each day in faith. But resting, looking to Him, trusting Him. How can we bear fruit? How can we develop our relationship with God if all the time we're worrying, those who are, I'm not saying, you know, those who are, just, where's my next meal coming from? Why aren't my needs being met? Now, if our needs are not being met, there is a reason. And it's good to seek God, wait on the Lord. Because He's made that promise. That if we're putting first the kingdom, all these things that the world seeks after will be added to us. But the ones who fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart. Heard the word with a noble, good heart, keep it and bear fruit with endurance. The word will only bear fruit if, with a good and noble heart, when we hear it, we keep it. Now, what does that mean? To bring forth fruit with endurance. That good and noble heart is a heart that has been worked on by the Holy Spirit, that is crucified with Christ, is submitting to the refining fire of the Holy Spirit in their lives, is bearing the marks of commitment, is paying the cost, is identifying with Jesus, but has taken the time when they've heard the word, taking notes, listening to it, praying, developing that prayer life, that relationship with God. Lord, what are you saying? I've heard a message tonight. Father, by your Spirit, speak to me in this. Open my eyes. Lord, what are you saying? It's using your own words, obviously. Developing that relationship so that we know we've heard from God. Because it's only the word by the Spirit planted in our hearts that's going to bear fruit. And the message that the Holy Spirit is sending out in this hour before Jesus returns, preparing a people made ready for the return of the Lord, He's restoring, one of the first things He's restoring once again is the message of the cross, that the disciple is to deny self, take up his cross and follow Jesus. But also the message of restoration, that we're not a bunch of loose cannons running off doing whatever we want, but that God is restoring. New wines must be put into new wineskins. Yes. And God is raising up, and I know people hate this, but throw your stones, God is raising up the New Testament assembly. Yes. The New Testament church. He's raising up and He's restoring divine order. And every single one of us, by the time God has finished, is going to be walking in apostolic faith. You all have a ministry. You all have a part to play. Whatever it would be. But do you know what that is? Have you heard from God what that is, or have you assumed? Now, you've got to get personally, by the Spirit, what God is showing, what God is revealing. And He's restoring divine order. Jesus is head, the fivefold ministry, and from that, body ministry. God is raising up the Joshuas. Joshua who led the people of Israel into their inheritance. Every step that you tread upon, I have given it to you. I've already given it. So people, fivefold ministry, John the Baptist, preparing a people. Joshua's leading God's people into their inheritance. Victory in their own lives, and then ministering that victory to the people who can then turn round and minister to others. God is setting each one of us free. We all have needs here this evening, and our greatest need is a touch from Messiah, a touch from Jesus, to set us free in those areas that we don't even know about. And when we're free, those empty vessels, God will use us, anoint us, to set others free. We have a mighty end time ministry that we're being prepared for, a ministry of deliverance, to set the captives free. But our first deliverance, our great deliverance, our great need is deliverance from self. when the cross has done its work, when we've understood the purpose for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's a threshold experience. This is what we need to know. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a threshold experience. It's a doorway into the deeper life, into the fullness of Christ. One thing to go to a place, I'm a Christian and I go here to worship, but are we experiencing Christ likeness, the fullness of Christ? We're filled with the Spirit, we speak in tongues, but being filled and the fullness are not the same. Being filled is a one-off experience, an act of faith, we begin to speak in tongues, praise God. But the fullness is a growth to maturity. It comes through trials, tests, waiting on God, that relationship being taken hold of by the Holy Spirit. I've got you now. You know, like the kid out in the garden, don't want to come back in, covered in mud. Lord grabs hold of it and the kid's kicking and screaming, I don't want to come in, I don't want to bath, I want to stay out muddy. I'm having too much fun. But God is getting hold of some who will grow up from that and experience sonship. And he's going to bring us in, clean us down. We're eventually going to realise that this is for our good. He's called us to one side. He's training us, teaching us, causing us to mature as sons. Now what is it? What is the difference between sons and babies? Well, baby, feed me, look after me, 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 me. Son, father, what are you saying? Let me help you run the family business. What are you saying? What can I do today that would be a blessing to you? It's that relationship, it's that maturity, it's taking responsibility. No longer minister to me, I'm hurting, minister to me. The house of God is full, dear people, but they're hurting and they can't get free and they don't know how to. God loves them and in time they will be set free. But God is raising up people who will be part of the answer. People who will yield themselves completely over to the Holy Spirit, who will be set free from all denominational thinking, from doctrines of demons, from errors, from sin, from all of it, completely free, walking in the Spirit, not being served, but serving, being used by Almighty God to set others free. Now, there's a cost to this, and it's the cross. There's nothing in it for you and I. If we turn to Galatians 2:20, praise God. Are we mature enough to handle this? Or do we still need to look up the basic scriptures that say Jesus loves me? And praise God he does. Oh, praise God he does. But do we love him? We love him because he first loved us. But that will be seen in our fruit, dear friends, not in what we say. Galatians chapter 2. In verse 20, reading from the New King James, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. No longer I, but Christ, isn't it? The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That exchanged life. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, when we plead the blood, Satan knows our thoughts. He knows if you're just talking words or if you're talking life. The blood of Jesus is not simply the chemical that was spilt, sinless, inestimable value, but he gave his life in exchange for yours. He's God's substitute. He died in our place. So this is now the fulfillment of that. It's no longer, and Satan will bow the knee to that. When you understand it on that basis, he will bow the knee to that and flee. It's no longer you or I, but Christ living his life. Let's stop trying to live the Christian life and let Christ live his life in and through us. What the world needs now is not a bunch of happy clappies trying to be good Christians, trying to get them converted. What the world needs now is the Messiah, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ within us, the hope of glory. They need to see a risen Saviour. And who are they going to see that risen Saviour in? You and I. As we've yielded our lives completely over to Him, He will live His life in us and through us. And the world will see Jesus, not you and I. Legally, when the Father looks at you and I, He sees, that there's a chorus, isn't there? Not what I used to be, but He sees Jesus. Legally. But what about in our experience? One thing to say that that's our standing, but what is our state? We're temples of the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Christ, but God knows the heart. And the Spirit is doing a huge and a deep clean-up job. This word is about change. It's about an inward, wrought by the Holy Spirit, not us looking inward, but deep inward change, wrought by the Holy Spirit. Deliverance causing us to conform to the image of Christ. These are the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the result of self-effort. Let the Holy Spirit do the cutting. All we can do, make ourselves available, yield to Him. It's not a thing of complacency, oh well, there's nothing more for me to do, I'll just let God do it all. That's not what we're saying. If we have a heart that has been touched by God's love, we will want this, knowing that it will put us to death. There'll be in the self sense, it'll put us to death. This is what Paul is saying. I am being crucified with Christ. He's crucified with Him. Nevertheless I live, King James says. It's no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. What He went through, it wasn't just a legal thing of being crucified with Him, or buried with Him, raised with Him. He's experiencing the work of the cross in His life. So that it's no longer... You see, if, again, looking at Philippians 3 at this point, we fellowship with Christ when we go through our trials. In verse 10, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I'm, now if anyone knew Paul, it was him. If anyone knew Jesus, it was him, right? That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. If anyone could be said to be there, quote unquote, it was Paul. But look at him. He's not considering himself to have attained, but he presses on. Pressing on into the deeper life, that I may know Him. The power of His resurrection, being made conformable to His death. It's a fellowship with Him. How do we know these things are real? Because we experience them. Now, friends, don't let fear, don't let pride, don't let the devil rob you of these blessings through those things. None of us are able or worthy in our own strength, in our own willpower, in ourselves to experience this. It's God who must take over in our lives. The Holy Spirit will equip us, He'll prepare us, He'll train us for this. He will enlarge the heart. There are things still in our lives that should never be as a Christian. And as we open up before God, as we spend that time and open up in His presence, Lord, shine Your light in my heart. What is the next part of my heart that You want to heal next? What's Your order in my life? Not what's my problem or what I'm hurting the most, but Lord, what is Your order in my life? What's the next thing? He will show, He will reveal, He will heal, He will expose, but He will heal. Sometimes He allows things in our lives to go wrong, sin or demons, whatever it would be. I should be free of this. He's teaching you and I to war in the Spirit. If He took those things away from us straight away, it's like in the Old Testament, isn't it? Little by little, lest the beast of the field come in and devour. People have tried to deal with all their problems all in one go, and they've made shipwreck of their faith. But one bit at a time, one area at a time, teaching us that warfare, that faith, that consecration. In that seeking Him, He's preparing the heart to receive that deliverance and walk in it. Because when that demon goes, It's for a season, and we will walk in that. But you better believe the devil does not give up on his victims that easily. He'll come back and he'll fight. Now, it's only that preparation that will enable us to withstand and overcome and keep in that deliverance. Now, this is accomplished through God's word in our heart. Central revelation of God's message, praise God, the kingdom. Central to the kingdom, redemption. Central to redemption, the cross. And central to that, praise God, not only what Jesus did on our behalf, but what the Holy Spirit is now accomplishing in and through us. The Father willed it, Jesus purchased it, the Spirit is now applying it in our lives. And he is replicating what Jesus did for us. He's now working in and through us. So that our relationship is real. We have a reality of experience. It's not just words, it's not just ideas, but it's God himself. God is calling a group of people who have received the baptism to walk at a level closer to him than has ever been experienced before. This is an end time message. It's the consummation of all things now at hand. He's preparing a bride to whom he will come and receive and take to himself. But we've got to be a people not running about panicking because of that, but still watching, waiting in his presence. He will lead us. To be fruitful in any good work is to be led by the Spirit in that thing. Not wake up one morning and think it's a good idea. We can go to a place and people will be healed under our ministry because they've believed the word and God has blessed them. But that doesn't mean we're in God's perfect will. So God is working in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He's working that faith which works by love. Do you know faith can work without love? 1 Corinthians 13 says it. If I have faith that I can remove mountains but do not have love. But eventually, that is not honouring to God and God will judge it. So that fullness of love, God's love, God the Father's love in my heart, you know, his love for Jesus in my heart, in your heart. And in that love, love for him, love for one another, we then begin to trust God, to minister in faith, to move out in faith. Because it's God who's doing the building, not man. Dear friends, the Lord wants to encourage you this evening that as you sit under an anointed message, a word of faith, God will begin to prepare you, to deliver you from all those things. You know, in closing, we cannot think a right thought about God unless the Holy Spirit has put it in our minds and hearts. A lot of the things that we held to as cherished but unscriptural notions of God, the Holy Spirit's going to get hold and he's going to remove that, he's going to tear that out and he's going to put his revelation, his heart, his mind, his wisdom in your, my heart and mind, and he's going to reveal Jesus, he's going to reveal the kingdom. But it's a disciplined walk, it's a costly walk, it's a walk of holiness, it's a walk of perfection. Nothing like we can try in our own strength, but it's a Christian perfection, a maturity of the fruit of the Spirit in our life, a perfection of holiness, a perfection of consecration, that God will work, the Holy Spirit will work it, but we have got to sit down, count the cost, because nobody was ever crucified. In spiritual terms, nobody in this end time, I beg your pardon, nobody in this end time will be crucified by accident. God isn't going to sneak up on you and put you on the cross. You have got to sit down and deliberately just count the cost and choose the cross. Now don't be put off, don't reject the cross, well the cost is too much, I can't do it. Don't fall into the devil's trap. None of us can do it in our own strength. But when we've got the revelation that the cross is our deliverance, the cross is our salvation, the cross is our healing, the cross is our redemption, and the key into the kingdom, the way into the kingdom is through trials, and the cross is the key to understanding those trials. When we see what the cross is, we will embrace it with all our hearts, but we will have done the homework. We will have counted the cost, realised it's impossible, realised we can't do it in our own strength. Lord, to the best of my ability now, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know this is your perfect will for me, that you are the only one who can work it in me. It's acknowledging him. This goes beyond intellect, religious works, emotions. It's making an agreement with God that you'll allow him to take full control. The Holy Spirit is the only one who will work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's not works, it's fruit. Fruit is not born in doing, but in dying. But dear friends, the way we experience this, the way we experience this, is that God accomplishes this in our lives. It's a work of grace. And if there's a hunger in our hearts for all of Jesus, not just the healing, not just the goodies, but if we've truly had that touch from God and we love him with all our hearts, with all the soul, with all the being, if that is true in our lives, then this will not put us off. This word that we've heard tonight will not contain dread, but a real joy, a real hope for the future, a real vision that God will perfect in us his perfect will, the fullness of his redemption. He'll complete it in us. But it's got to be God doing it. Let the Holy Spirit do the cutting. Now, don't get discouraged. I've been walking this walk 30 years, and I'm still learning. We're going to fall flat on your face. The devil would love to come in and condemn. But friends, once we have settled that this is it, we get up again, and God continues to do his work. We're works in progress. The question is, bowing the knee, allowing God to, acknowledging it for what it is, not giving it excuses or trying to justify it. I blew it, I missed it, like old Adam, didn't he? Tried to blame God, blamed his wife. Lord, it was her, what you gave to me. Anything but him. He could have used that opportunity to seek pardon for his wife, but instead, no. He justified himself, blamed his creator, blamed his wife. Friends, we sin because we want to. End of. We manifest self because we love self, pride. And we've got to call it for what it is. And when we've allowed the Holy Spirit to shine that light in our hearts, he will then heal that area. He will work, having exposed, he never leaves it exposed. He will heal. He will set us free. He will conform us to the image of Christ. But we have got to see to it that we're under a message that is teaching that. I'm going to say something that may shock and may offend, but here we are. Most in the church are not saved because most are not hearing this. They're not being challenged to a deep message of faith, consecration, crucifixion. Most in the pulpit shouldn't be there because they're not preaching the message of the cross. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. And what is not restoration, perfection, preparation is going to come down. God is going to remove what is not of his building, what is not of him. We've read that, the shaking. God will see to it. It's divinely designed. It's not man shaking. God is shaking not only earth, but heavens, in preparation for the Lord to return for his bride. Praise God. I know that's been a hard word, but search your hearts, dear friends, because what is the purpose of our salvation? What is the purpose of our gathering together? I believe God has a vision and a purpose in this. He will establish a New Testament assembly in this place, citizens of the kingdom who will proclaim the kingdom. He is restoring the truth that nobody gets saved outside the ministry of the church. The church is an instrument, but it's the message, it's the kingdom message. People are saved because somebody prayed for them. What about Paul? You say, what about Saul, who met the Lord on the road to Damascus? You're going to believe, aren't you, when Stephen prayed that prayer, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge? Can you not believe his heart was being touched? Jesus, because that learned man had to say when he saw Jesus, Lord, who are you? He was Phil, nobody knew the law like Saul, but when he saw Jesus, he said, who are you? Didn't know Jesus. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus. And so, this is how we get saved. Somebody prayed for us. The word in our heart. The Holy Spirit got hold of our lives. Praise God. And so it will be through your ministry, my ministry, the ministry that God is raising up through an end time assembly, a New Testament assembly, the kingdom message, the message of the cross is going to be once again revealed. Now, not everybody will receive it. We saw it in the parable of the sower. Most rejected, but some, a noble and a good heart, a heart that had been prepared to receive that word, that had been prepared to wait on God, to understand that revelation, to allow the Spirit to speak to them, to reveal it to them. Yes, it's impossible. I cannot walk this in my own strength, but I know that as I yield to the Holy Spirit and let God take over, it's a different story. Spending that time, that's part of it, but you know, we can pray in the Spirit all day. All day, as much as we want. We have that communion with the Father, speaking to God. That prayer life. No, don't have a prayer life. Have a life of prayer. Praise God. And there will be times where we withdraw. Special times we hear from God. If you're hungry, if you're His sheep and you hunger for a deeper walk with Him, for more of this holy word in your heart, He will provide. He'll bring it to you. He will establish it. But all He's looking for is that hungry heart. The heart. He put the hunger there in the first place. Those hungry, broken saints. More of God. Friends, it isn't revival, it's restoration. From restoration, then will come revival. Because there has to be that repentance, there has to be that brokenness, that yielded vessel who will do nothing but what the Holy Spirit shows him. I commend that to you, brethren, for your consideration, for your prayer. If you have any questions, maybe if you spend some time in prayer or praising the Lord, still in His presence, because God is raising up a people of apostolic faith, apostolic authority, God restoring divine order, and we will know it by the fruit in our life, not by what we say, but by what our faith says about us, our consecration, our holiness, the love of God in our hearts to Him and to one another. Praise God. God bless you, friend.
Jesus.